Good morning, everyone. Good morning to members of the public, the consistent members of the public. It's not nuclear today, no? You're all welcome. Going to look at the report, which we'll hopefully adopt next week, Tuesday. So just move straight to that apologies.
Thank you, Chair. The following apologies. Mrs. Ngada, who's on study leave, and then Mr. Kuwama, due to other prior commitments, is unable to attend. And then Mr. Estelation indicating that he'll be running between PC on Energy and PC on Trade and Industry, Chair. So I'm sure it all first went to Trade and Industry. Then he'll be here. Those are the apologies, Chair.
Thanks very much. So, okay. Sure, the apologies are in order. Agreed. The report itself, so we received the copies only last, yesterday in the evening, was it still afternoon when this is the first draft. We've gone through the process before, so I think I suggest that we get the presentation on the report. So in the next 2 hours or so, so we can get shouldn't read through the report. We get the presentation of the report and just starting with the explanation of the structure and what changes we made from the previous report. A summary of each section. We will look at the recommendations later, and not attempt to finalize them. So we can give members a chance to make a submission between now and next Tuesday, especially with regard to the substantive submissions and the recommendations. But let's go through everything.
Thank you, Chair. The report, the structure of the report is basically the same as it was last year. It's just one or two petitions, Chair. For example, last year we had the responses from the department on the budget vote recommendations of the previous year, 2015. This year we've included the responses by the Minister of Energy on the BRRR, our BRRR recommendations. So those two sets are included now. The budget vote of 2016 recommendations, as well as the budgetary review report recommendations is included in the report. But as I say, basically the structure is the same. It's just an overview of the strat plan and the APP, the budget analysis, and then the, what do you call it, the observations and findings, and then those two responses from the department, and then the recommendations. So if I go through it here, so one, just the subject of the report, and then number two, the background, where these is stemming from with regard to the plans, the tabling thereof, etc. Then 1.3, the objectives of the report, to describe and analyze the budget of the Department of Energy over the 2017-18 financial year, and then to conclude on implications and make recommendations there too. Number two, as I've indicated, is the overview of the strat plan and annual performance plan. Also, the first table of page two, it's the entities reporting to the department. That information, all that information, we got from the Department of Energy APP document 1718. Number three, the organizational environment of the Department of Energy. This information, as obtained from the presentation given last week. Four, five, six. Number four, the training and development. Five regional officers, plan, policy, initiatives. That information was obtained from the DOE APP, direct from there, including those two paragraphs, the bullet points, on page four. The number seven, strategic outcome-oriented goals of the Department of Energy. Number one, security of supply. Two, infrastructure. Three, regulation and competition. Number four, universal access and transformation. Number five, environmental assets. Six, climate change. Seven, corporate governance. Once again, that information is obtained from the APP of the Department of Energy. Number eight is the policy priorities of the department for 2017-18. This information, increasing household access to electricity, enhancing energy efficiency, diversifying energy, establishing the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, improving the quality and security of petroleum fuels. All that information as well as included, obtained in the APP of the Department of Energy. Number nine, the budget of the Department of Energy. Table four is the overall budget of the Department of Energy as obtained from National Treasury. And then table five, baseline overview as obtained from the DOE presentation last week. Compensation of employees. Table 6, as obtained from the DOE presentation last week. And then just the breakdown of the net increases due to the following adjustments. That's it. Then at number 11, I think, should I go through each one here, say the observations and findings? Is that fine? So number one, observations and findings. The Department of Energy is not functioning optimally and needs to be restructured and recapacitated, according to the Minister of Energy. She further stated that the department was not structured in a way that made it effective, efficient, and responsive to the sector. Number two, according to the minister, the department needs to up its game, in other words, improve on its current performance and be positioned in a way to drive the sector towards higher growth and job creation. Number three, the minister stated that the department is not responsive to its core business and that it is very thin in terms of its technical capacity, for example, with regard to electrification or petroleum management. Four, the disposal of 10 million barrels of South Africa's strategic oil reserves by the Strategic Fuel Fund in December 2015 was a sale and not a rotation of stock as previously reported. The minister further stated that the decision to sell the stock by the Strategic Fuel Fund was taken without board approval. 6. Governance challenges remains a challenge relating to the Central Energy Fund and its subsidiaries. Number 7. The minister indicated that she instructed the Central Energy Fund to find a way to act against those responsible for the sale of the 10 million barrels of South Africa's strategic oil reserves, even though they are no longer employed by the fund. Number 8. The Portfolio Committee on Energy notes and welcomes the views expressed by the Minister of Energy on her willingness of public engagement and participation in the debate on nuclear energy. The committee welcomes the willingness, particularly because of the court judgment which set aside the procurement of nuclear energy. Number 9. The committee noted the minister's commitment in dealing with challenges that are facing Petro-SA. Number 10. The committee welcomes the fact that the minister has been upfront and assured the committee that there are no plans to privatize Petro-SA. This is encouraging as state entities need to be strengthened and capacitated in order to perform optimally and be beneficial to the state. Number 11. The minister indicated that she was questioning the payment of bonuses totaling 17.3 million to Petro-SA executives. Number 12. The Competition Commission has released a market inquiry report into the liquefied petroleum gas industry. The report revealed that only 4 wholesalers account for over 90% of the market. 13. The committee noted the report released by the Competition Commission calling for price and regulatory changes in the liquefied petroleum gas industry. Members agree that this is an important survey and that it should benefit poor communities that rely on gas as a source of energy. 14. Government is not yet at the stage of calling for tenders to buy nuclear power, and that government has not entered into any deal or signed any contract to procure nuclear power with any country. 15. Eskom has only been given the go-ahead to issue a request for information. 16. Members of the committee agreed that there has been a deficit of trust when it comes to government's nuclear energy plans. According to the minister, the country has to face the possibility of being short of electricity within the next 3 to 4 years. 18. The minister emphasized that wrongdoing should not continue without consequences. 19. The Integrated Resource Plan, IRP, and the Integrated Energy Plan, IEP, would be finalized during 2017 as policy certainty and predictability are critical for investments. 20. The minister noted the fact that the government had committed itself to reducing carbon emissions by 34% by 2020, and it is crucial that the energy sector will have to play its part. 21. According to the minister, both grid and non-grid solutions had to be found in a balanced way to ensure electricity for the whole country. 22. The minister stated that to connect everyone to the grid will cost money for infrastructure, maintenance and subsidies, and would escalate costs in a constrained fiscal environment. And then, finally, the committee is looking forward to the department's budget vote on 19 May 2017, which should provide more details on the plans the minister has for the department. Then, number 12, as I've indicated, this is a list of the responses from the Department of Energy on the budget vote recommendations made by the committee last year, 2016. This is up until page 19. Following that, are the responses from the department as tabled by the minister to the Speaker of Parliament on 3 May on the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee on the NEG with regard to its budget review and recommendations report. That is up until page 26. Then it's the conclusion and the recommendations, Chair.
Asking Mr. Kotso why is he not going to test responses to the our budget report and the BRRR. So you don't want that?
I don't know
why they do that. That's the most important part. I suppose those two sections are trying to deal with something we've been raising, that we raise matters with department and we never get to know what they're doing, the things we say. So, are we able to measure how effective are the recommendations we're making from the responses they're giving us? So, we have time. I think we can go through that. My suggestion with regard to the recommendations is that we still go through them today, but that we don't attempt to have a long discussion on them. So we can have a few days for members to make submissions on the actual recommendations, and then so when we meet next week, we can go through the recommendations. Only the rest of the report is almost fine as it stands. So that's what I suggest. I just want us to see if we can try and internalize to what extent the department has responded to the BRRR recommendations and our budget route recommendations. Yeah, that's my suggestion, because going forward, we're going to have to see, to hold them to account, to respond to the things we suggest they do. So, from what we're seeing from that report of the 3rd of May, it appears they're attempting to do that. So, we just need to see how effective is that, because we just don't want compliance by getting responses, but can we see if what they're saying to us is being done. Ona Makai, we had your hand up. Do you have a different view?
No, Chair, I agree with you. I just want to make a suggestion around the observations and findings. At present, they seem a bit scattered. I think we should try and group them to deal with specific issues, because, for example, in point 4, we're dealing with SFF, then we deal with it again in point 8, and I think we should try and group specifically the meaning. And Chair, sorry, there's a few phraseology issues that are a problem for us, especially when there's a noting by the committee. Chair, unless it's a unanimous noting, the phrasing should just refer to something different, because, for example, we would not be happy with the committee welcomes the fact that the minister has been upfront and assured the committee that there will be no plans to privatize PetroSA. That wasn't a unanimous committee position. So if it can maybe be stated, the minister has been upfront and assured the committee that there will be no plans to privatize, I'm fine with that. But when you're using the committee, please just be careful, because there isn't broad agreement on a lot of the issues within the, in terms of the recommendations. But otherwise I support your recommendations, and I think it is important to evaluate and the responses we've received, which in some cases seem quite good and in some cases quite weak from the department in terms of the budget vote and the BRRR report. Thanks.
And Mr. Kotz, especially those ones where we think the responses are weak, isolate those ones so that we can follow up, so that when they come back we can say that we asked you, we made the following recommendations, this is your response, but we're not satisfied with what you're telling us. So with regard to just reorganizing the report to ensure coherence and that it reads better, that we can still do, we still have time to do that, we'll group the observations and the recommendations and the findings properly. With regard to the, I take it that so the only difficulty so far on the observations is that one, the one that's substantive is the only one that raised by Honorable Kana. We can change that, it's okay. I quite understand what you're saying, Honorable Makai. It was the minister's view. We didn't discuss that. It may well be that you want some privatization of petrol. So we don't know. We didn't discuss that. I wouldn't be surprised if we said that from your side, but we haven't had that discussion. So I think let's just be factual. That's with regard to what the minister said. Okay. The committee, when at a later stage, when they give us a report about PetroSA and its future, we can have a discussion about those issues with regard to the ownership of PetroSA.
I second
yes, you have noted today. Yeah. That's just the change we need to make. For now, I suggest we go through the two responses.
Thank you, Chair. So the first one, on page 10, we start with the responses on the committee's recommendations made in the budget of report of 2016. Number one, ensure optimal performance of the department notwithstanding the current budget constraints. The response of the department is as follows. DOE faces extraordinary challenges to deliver on committed goals, objectives, and government desired outcomes. We continuously strive for improved productivity, and we have reviewed our legislation to align them with the changing demands of the economy, develop policies that provide conditions for fair business practices and economic development in the energy sector, transform the energy sector, increase public and private sector participation in policy formulation and implementation, improve access to electricity and energy services, implemented the 9-point plan to resolve energy challenges, enforced cost containment measures to reduce wastage, laxity, and limited underspending. Despite the initial teething problems, we have improved our oversight and reduced the vacancy rate to keep within ceiling for compensation of employees. Through our work with the DPME and other energy stakeholders, we have successfully achieved a clean audit from the Auditor General. Number two recommendation. Without prejudicing the interest of the country, present the key nuclear procurement documentation, including the integrated nuclear infrastructure review, finance options, models and solutions for the nuclear build program, and economic impact of localization of the nuclear program, and any other relevant documentation to the committee, and update the committee on a regular basis regarding the nuclear procurement process. Response from the department. The department, at the request of the committee on 29 November 2016, presented the required nuclear procurement documentation and briefed the committee on the state of readiness to implement nuclear new build program and progress update on work done to implement cabinet decisions. Example, rescinding cabinet decision designating the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, as the implementing agent for the nuclear new build program. The committee was also briefed about the cabinet decision designating Eskom as the owner, operator and procurer of the nuclear power plants in accordance with the Nuclear Energy Policy of 2008. The committee was further briefed about cabinet decision to designate Nexa as the owner, operator and procurer of the nuclear fuel cycle and multipurpose reactor. Number three, ensure that the scale and pace of the nuclear procurement program is done in a manner that is affordable to the country as directed by the President. Response. In line with the Cabinet decision of 2 November 2016, Eskom and Nexa have jointly issued the request for information in December 2016 and closing date of 28 April 2017. This RFI will be followed by issuing the request for proposal to test the market and determine the funding model for the program. The outcome of the RFP process will be submitted to Cabinet for approval of the pace and scale for the implementation of the NNBP the country can afford. The Section 34 determination designation designating Eskom as the procurer and the associated RFI and planned RFP process have been reviewed and set aside by the recent Cape Town High Court judgment. Therefore, the NNBP procurement activities have been suspended for the department to address issues raised by the court. Number four. Present to the committee the integrated energy plan in the third quarter of 2016-17. The department briefed the committee on the IEP on the 14th of February 2017. The IEP consultative workshops commenced in December 2016 and are continuing until end of March 2017. Once completed, the updated plan will be retabled in Cabinet in 2017-18 financial year for promulgation. Number five, present to the committee the updated Integrated Resource Plan, IRP, in the third quarter of 2016-17. Again, the response. The department briefed the committee on the IEP on the 14th of February 2017. Similar to the IEP, consultation process commenced in December 2016 and ended in March 2017. Once completed, the updated plan will be retabled in Cabinet by quarter three of the 17-18 financial year. Number six. Present to the committee the gas utilization master plan in the third quarter of 2016-17. The gas development plan is proposed under the Gas Amendment Bill, and this is under development and will be submitted after the finalization of the Integrated Energy Plan in 2017. The GAB will facilitate the development of infrastructure, including pipelines and storage for LP gas, natural gas, and other indigenous gases. Page 13, Recommendation 7. Ensure that the South African National Energy Development Institute as an energy efficiency champion presents its energy efficiency program to the committee, particularly its role in coordinating all energy efficiency activities. The response. The Energy Act provides for SANEDI to play the role of energy efficiency agent with a mandate as outlined in the legislation. SANEDI is also mandated under the Income Tax Amendment Act to implement the Energy Efficiency Tax Incentive Scheme by verifying the savings claimed by various entities. The role of verification cannot be undertaken at the same time as project development due to conflict of mandate concerns. 8. Ensure that the shareholder compacts for all state-owned entities are in place in the next 6 months and present them to the PCE thereafter. SEF and Nexa, public entities listed in Schedule 2 on an annual basis, submit their corporate plans to the executive authority. The corporate plan covers a period of 3 years and includes strategic objectives and outcomes identified and agreed on by the executive authority in the shareholders compact, strategic and business initiatives as embodied in business function strategies, key performance measures and indicators for assessing the entity's performance in delivering the desired outcomes and objectives, a risk management plan, a fraud prevention plan, a materiality significant framework referred to in Treasury Regulation 28.3.1. A financial plan addressing projections of revenue, expenditure and borrowings, and asset and liability management, cash flow projections, capital expenditure programs, and dividend policies. In addition to the corporate plan, the Minister as the Executive Authority annually concludes a shareholders' compact with the SOE falling under its control and ensure that within 6 months of each financial year, the shareholders' compact documents, the mandated key procedures for quarterly reporting to the Executive Authority in order to facilitate effective performance, monitoring, evaluation, and corrective action. On a quarterly basis, the Department analyzes the performance of the entities against signed shareholder compacts and provide corrective measures where relevant. The PCE exercises its role through evaluating the performance of SOEs by interrogating the quarterly performance reports and annual financial statements. Even though the Department has not provided the committee with a shareholders compact, but has consistently reported the SOE's performance in line with the shareholders compact document. Number 9. Present with SEF the details of the turnaround strategy and any process of restructuring of SEF and its entities not later than 3 months. On 14 March 2017, the department, together with the SEF group, presented PetroSA turnaround strategy to the Portfolio Committee on Energy and took note of the committee's recommendations to SEF that were aimed at improving PetroSA's turnaround strategy and the overall restructuring of the SEF group. The SEF group board is currently working on finalizing the strategy and will provide a progress briefing to the Minister and the committee during the second term and once the plan is finalized in the third term of 17-18. Number 10. Conduct robust oversight and continuously update the committee on the performance of the entities reporting to the department. The SOE's oversight unit is concerned with the reviewing, monitoring and overseeing of the affairs, practices, activities and financial conduct of the SOEs to ensure that they are conducted in an expected manner and in accordance with all commercial, legislative and other prescribed governance frameworks. This includes the review, monitoring and overseeing of the management of SOEs. Their strategic and business planning and on a quarterly basis provides a report on each SOE's performance and compliance of the above to the Minister. Given the involvement of the Portfolio Committees in the legislative budget and performance monitoring of departments and the SOEs, the department as and when required by the committee provides an update on its performance as well as those of the entities against their strategic plans and annual performance plans. 11. Ensure that the strategic plans of the entities are aligned to the objectives of the DOE and that the entities are correctly funded and staffed to meet the objectives. In preparing the 5-year strategic plan, which sets out key policy priorities to deliver on our mandate, the department's planning process for the 14-15 medium term was intensive and included representatives of state-owned entities reporting to the minister. The intention of this approach was to allow the department's entities and other relevant agencies to align with our strategic plan and budget when developing their own strategic frameworks and plans. In addition, the department participates in the strategic planning sessions of the entities and attend board meetings to ensure that the above-mentioned objective is realized. 12. Update the committee on progress on the implementation of the Cleaner Fuels 2 specifications. A proposal to resolve the impasse on cost recovery mechanism, in brackets, refineries want motorists to pay for the refinery upgrades, is being discussed with the oil industry. This is based on the adjustment of the basic fuel price formula. 13. Submit a report on the hiving off of the entities of the SEF and the implications thereof to the PGE by the end of the third quarter for 2016-17. The SEF board conducted a solvency and liquidity test and passed a final resolution for the transfer of PASA from SEF to DMR during March 2017. The minister has since approved the board's recommendation. PASA has already received MTF funding allocation from the DMR and is reporting to the DMR with effect from 1 April 2017. There will be dual reporting to DOE during the transitional period while all the formalities are finalized. The SEF board has requested that the transfer of AEFMC be delayed while the group restructuring plan is finalized, and also to ensure that the board is able to comply with all the legal requirements for the transfer of the entity. Recommendation 14. Monitor and update the committee on developments in the MPRA and the impact thereof on the gas amendment. The DOE is participating in the project Executive Committee, PEC, which oversees the development of the strategic environmental assessment for shale gas in South Africa. The PEC is chaired by the Department of Environmental Affairs. In addition, the department also participates in the task team led by the Department of Mineral Resources. 15. Facilitate the process leading to the definition of the end state of the electricity sector and report to the committee within the next 3 months. A proposal is being discussed internally with the minister to ensure political alignment. Once this is completed, the concept of the electricity end state will be presented for public consultation within 2017-18 financial year. 16. Ensure that the National Energy Regulator of South Africa's public hearings are more accessible to ordinary citizens. NERSA values all opportunities to engage with its stakeholders. In respect of the public hearings, the regulatory support unit will at the appropriate time be invited to brief the committee about the rules and procedures of NERSA's meetings, public participation in NERSA's activities, and the framework and role of NERSA in conducting public hearings. 17. Update the PCE on the overall transformation in the energy sector, especially in the petroleum sector. The department has commenced with two processes. The first process entails the audit of the state of the transformation in the petroleum retail sector. The audit will be completed in the second quarter of this 2017-18 financial year. The second process is underway and involves the alignment of the liquid fuels charter with the BBBEE codes of good practice. A sector transformation council will be established during the course of 2017-18 financial year. Recommendation 18. Put emphasis on the rollout of the National Electrification Program with a particular focus on rural areas and provide the committee with a comprehensive plan thereof. The department has managed to connect 300,000 households to the grid against the target of 235,000, with over 66,000 households achieved from the targeted households. Over 16,900 households were connected by non-grid technology against the target of 20,000. In the current financial year, 2017-18, the department will connect 235,000 households to the grid and 15,000 to be connected by non-grid technology. A high-level electrification master plan was developed in 1617 by the DOE team. The department is in engagement with National Treasury for funding of a detailed master plan with initial focus on three provinces, namely KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo, with high level of rural electrification backlogs. 19. Continuously update the committee on the developments regarding the decision on building a new petroleum refinery. The response? Insofar as the recommendation of the NDP to conclude a decision on new refinery capacity, the IEP will provide insights regarding the implications of the refinery as against not proceeding with its development. The decision on new refining capacity will be finalized in 2017. When the IEP is finalized. The IEP provides an agenda of energy technology topics. These topics include technologies for storage, biofuel development, fuel cells utilization, exploiting our platinum resource base, PV and CSP. 20. Regularly update the committee on the Grand Inga Hydro project. The department is accelerating the implementation of our bilateral and regional agreements to realize the benefits of energy cooperation in the areas of hydroelectricity, coal, gas, and renewable energy. The Grand Inga Treaty between South Africa and the DRC obliges South Africa to negotiate an offtake agreement for 2,500 megawatts of hydroelectricity from the Inga Hydro Project. South Africa is also providing capacity support to the DRC for the project's management. The committee will be briefed about developments surrounding this project in June 2021. Ensure that electricity distribution challenges are addressed, working together with the relevant departments and municipalities. Municipal electricity distribution infrastructure requires urgent refurbishment if it is expected to provide a reliable service and sustainable solution to the current challenges. The estimated backlog of 80 billion needs a funding model that entails revamp institutional, regulatory and structural adjustments to the status quo. In this regard, the approach to distribution asset management, in brackets ADAM, program was initiated in 2016, targeting the metropolitan and suburban areas of the country for piloting. The development of norms and standards relating to, amongst others, maintenance and tariff design is necessary for adoption as a regulatory mechanism for municipalities to normalize their electricity distribution businesses. These norms and standards are to be informed by the pilot ADAM program. 22. Expedite the solar water heater rollout plan in partnership with the supporting documents in order to meet the set target of 1.75 million by the end of 2019. The response. The solar water heater program will eventually take off. Contracts placed for the supply of baseline systems under the social program have been concluded. Approximately 9,000 systems have been secured through this program in terms of which the total content, of which the local content of these products exceeds 75%. The next step is to commence with the training of local communities in the installation of the solar water systems with clear objectives set for skills and enterprise development, job creation, and the targeting of the youth, women, and other designated groups. In the year under review, an assessment will be completed in 6 metropolitan municipalities. And then, number 23, ensure that issues relating to the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute are addressed and the institute is made operational as soon as possible. The National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute became operational in the 13-14 period, and all critical positions have since been filled. The department established a steering committee to address transitional arrangements from the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, to the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, as per Section 30 of National Radio Waste Disposal Institute Act. The year 1617 experienced delays in the legislative process related to nuclear grants, in particular the amendments of the National Nuclear Regulatory Act, the Nuclear Energy Act, and the Nuclear Energy Act. This includes the introduction of the new National Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill. The committee was briefed about challenges faced by the Institute on 28 February 2017. Those are the responses from the department on the budget vote 2016.
Continue. Continue, Mr. Kwart. I can see you're looking for some brilliant space. Continue, there's an overlap, so I don't want us to ask questions on matters that are dealt with later.
So, now the recommendations of the BRRR 2016 and the responses from the department. One, subsequent to its finalization, brief the committee on the outcomes of the investigations of all the strategic fuel fund contracts from 2014-15 financial year. The response, the investigation has been completed and the chairperson of SEF has submitted the report to the minister for consideration. Two, conduct robust oversight and continuously update the committee on the performance of the entities reporting to the department. The SOE's oversight unit is concerned with reviewing, monitoring and overseeing of the affairs, practices, activities and financial conduct of the SOEs to ensure that they are conducted in an expected manner and in accordance with all commercial, legislative and other prescribed governance frameworks. This includes the review, monitoring and overseeing of the management of SOEs, their strategic and business planning, and on a quarterly basis provides a report on each SOE's performance and compliance of the above to the Minister. Given the involvement of the portfolio committees in the legislative budget and performance monitoring of departments and the SOEs, the department, as and when required by the committee, provides an update on its performance as well as those of the entities against their strategic plans and annual performance plans. Recommendation three, ensure that the Department of Energy assists the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation and the South African Nuclear Energy Development, should be South African Nuclear Energy Development in receiving, this should be wrong, what is SANEDI, South African National Development Institute. Receiving unqualified audit reports. Should be South African National Development. The response, all material audit findings raised by the Auditor General related to the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation's liability for operating past strategic nuclear facilities have been addressed. The department embarked on a process of assessing nuclear and related liabilities arising from operational past strategic nuclear facilities on the Pelindaba and advised cabinet of escalating costs to help them determine whether the remaining facilities and the environmental pathways should continue to be monitored. In addition, improvement plans are being implemented to ensure that the SANEDI audit outcomes improve from this financial year onwards. Number four, as a matter of urgency, ensure that all critical posts in the state-owned entities are filled. On the 6th of April 2017, the Minister was briefed about the status of vacant positions in affected SOEs. All vacancies within SOEs have been filled, while others are in the process of being filled. A quarterly report will be submitted to the committee on the status of all vacancies. Number five, update the committee on the decontamination and decommissioning liability for the operational strategic nuclear liability associated with the operation of the Safari 1 research nuclear reactor during the second quarter of 2017. The Department of Energy will submit a cabinet memorandum on decommissioning and decontamination for Minister's approval. The Cabinet Memorandum is expected to serve in Cabinet within April 2017 and thereafter the Portfolio Committee will be updated accordingly. Ensure the finalization of the National Energy Regulator of South Africa on the rules for third-party access as well as the finalization of the necessary policy framework related thereto by the Department of Energy. Cabinet approved the National Energy Regulation Amendment in June 2015, subject to amendment to provisions regarding the review body proposed under the bill. The Social and Economic Impact Assessment Study is currently being finalized by the DPME and the department has submitted all the required information. Number 7, ensure that challenges related to the maximum retail price of liquefied petroleum gas are resolved by 17-18 financial year. The gas amendment bill has been developed with the intention to address the regulatory model for all gas infrastructures, including LP gas. A revised model has been developed insofar as the pricing of LP gas is concerned. It is envisaged that the above framework will resolve the LPG retail price challenges. Recommendation 8. Update the committee on the recommendations submitted to Cabinet regarding the roles and responsibilities of Eskom, Nexa and the Department of Energy on the new nuclear build program. On 2 November 2016, Cabinet designated Eskom as the owner, operator and procurer of nuclear power plants in accordance with Nuclear Energy Policy of 2008. Cabinet also designated Nexa as the owner, operator and procurer of nuclear fuel cycle and multipurpose reactor. The department will continue to act on its mandate of policy setting and be a coordinating department for the Nuclear New Build Program. Resolution 9. Update the committee on a regular basis regarding the nuclear procurement process. Eskom, in conjunction with Nexa, has issued the RFP on 20 December 2016 for responses on 28 April 2017. All the expected nuclear vendors have indicated that they will respond within the agreed time frame. Eskom has developed a final draft request for proposals document, including input from Nexa. Eskom is planning, in conjunction with Nexa, to have obtained relevant formal approvals, both internal to Eskom and from relevant government structures, in time to allow the final RFP to be issued to the market at the end of June 2017 for response by the end of September 2017. Recommendation 10. Present to the committee the finalized integrated energy plan in the fourth quarter of 2016-17. Public consultations on the IEP has been finalized with various external stakeholders and there is ongoing consultations with other departments. The department is in the process of incorporating comments received from various stakeholders. The IEP is also scheduled to be tabled in the economic sectors, employment and infrastructure development cluster in quarter 2 of 2017, then to Cabinet with the objective of seeking approval to publish the final report. Recommendation 11. Represent to the committee the integrated resource plan in the first quarter of 2017-18. The department is currently updating the IRP base case and scenarios following public consultations that are in progress. The IRP update is expected to be tabled at the ESEID cluster in August 2017, which will be followed by the promulgation process once approved by Cabinet. The department will present the IRP to the Portfolio Committee on Energy once Cabinet has approved it. 12. Present to the committee the Gas Utilization Master Plan in the first quarter of 2017-18. The Gas Development Plan is proposed under the Gas Amendment Bill, and this is under development and will be submitted after the finalization of the Integrated Energy Plan in 2017. The GAB will facilitate the development of infrastructure including pipelines and storage for LPG, for LP gas, natural gas and other indigenous gases. 13. Ensure that the new energy efficiency target for the remainder of the MTSF is set. Response. The energy efficiency target post-2015 has been determined. This will be presented in Cabinet as part of the IEP final report. 14. Ensure that Department commits to outcome 10 of the MTSF and comply with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation requirements. The IRP and IEP take into consideration the implications of the climate change policy inherent in the energy mix are technology options that reduce our greenhouse gas emissions due to energy generation. 15, subsequent to the adoption of the IRP and IEP by Cabinet, the DOE must re-engage the committee with legislative proposals for the reform and the restructuring of the electricity sector. Once the above approval process has been completed, the department will engage the portfolio committee on both policy frameworks. Recommendation 17, expedite all outstanding legislation, which include the following: Gas Amendment Bill, the Electricity Regulation Second Amendment Bill, the National Energy Regulator Amendment Bill. The response: the revised draft Gas Amendment Bill received a final pre-certification from the Office of the State Law Advisor. It is ready to be submitted for tabling before Cabinet for onward transmission to Parliament. The draft GAB was developed in consultation with NERSA to ensure that it is aligned with the gas-to-power procurement program the department has embarked upon. The Electricity Regulation Second Amendment Bill was tabled at the Interministerial Committee on Energy in June 2015. The department was requested to provide the end state of electricity sector before any deliberations on the Electricity Regulation Act amendments. Cabinet approved the National Energy Regulation Amendment in June 2015, subject to amendment to provisions regarding the review body proposed under the bill. The social and economic impact assessment report was completed by March 2016. Recommendation 17, develop initiatives in conjunction with other national government departments and entities to ensure security of supply with regard to electricity so as to ensure there is no load shedding. The response: the department developed initiatives for the five-point plan under the war room to mitigate against the risk of load shedding. These included supporting Eskom during discussions with NERSA to extend the short-term power purchase contracts, launched the procurement of coal from IPPs, expedited the procurement of 1,800 megawatt from the renewable IPP program, launched expedited procurement of energy from cogeneration, and the development procurement documents for gas to power. Recommendation 18, in conjunction with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs and National Treasury, develop a strategy to address the backlog related to the distribution network. Response: the DOE has done an assessment of the asset refurbishment backlog in the electricity distribution sector, covering Eskom and municipalities. The department is collaborating with National Treasury, COPTA, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, NERSA. NERSA will develop the norms and standards for municipal asset management. In addition, a funding model for refurbishing the infrastructure is being developed in collaboration with external investors. 19. In conjunction with COPTA, assess and develop strategies for the effective implementation of free basic electricity and free basic alternative energy policies. The department tracks the extent of FBE rollout in Eskom licensed areas more easily than in municipal licensed areas. The FBE and the FBAE implementation framework has critical shortcomings relating to the ability of national government to enforce the rollout of FBE. This is a municipal constitutional mandate. Number 20, identify and empower an energy efficiency champion for South Africa who will take ownership of all current initiatives in South Africa, conduct assessments on effectiveness of current initiatives, and develop strategies going forward, including recommendations on new technologies and policies that South Africa needs. The response: the Energy Act provides for SANEDI to play the role of energy efficiency agent with the mandate as outlined in the legislation. SANEDI is also mandated under the Income Tax Amendment Act to implement the Energy Efficiency Tax Incentive Scheme by verifying the savings claimed by various entities. The role of verification cannot be undertaken at the same time as project developer due to conflict of mandate concerns. 20. Fast track the biofuel strategy and finalize the regulatory instruments that the Department of Energy is working on to facilitate the introduction of biofuels into the South African liquid fuels market. Response. A cabinet memo has been completed with a draft biofuels regulatory framework in all relevant annexes, including the revised feedstock protocol, financing model, and the socio-economic impact assessment system report, and were tabled in cabinet. Cabinet has, however, deemed it prudent to put the biofuels program on hold due to the prevailing drought in the country as well as the prevailing economic environment. Recommendation 22. Address the challenges identified at the Renewable Energy Independent Procurement Program, which includes ensuring that the transmission grid is available to the program as and when required. Local communities are empowered and benefit from the program, and those aspects of localization of technology and skills transfer is assessed to ensure it is occurs. The response, the department is continuously working with the ESCOM transmission and distribution infrastructure planning teams to address the connection issues in the immediate future. The different IPP procurement windows are continuously adjusted to take into account grid constraints. For the future, ESCOM with DEA and in consultation with the department has developed a strategic grid plan taking into account energy resource locations. Strategic environmental assessment is being undertaken with a view of unlocking these corridors for the future. On localization, the department is working closely with the DTI in determining local content thresholds for each technology. Each project is required to submit an economic development plan, which includes, amongst other things, skills transfer, training, and local ownership. Number 23, rollout of the Cogeneration Independent Power Procurement Program to ensure South Africa benefits from this program. The department released a procurement document for brownfield projects in 2015. One project was appointed as the preferred bidder under the first phase. The second phase was also concluded with another additional project, but was never taken further due to concerns raised by ESCOM. There is currently a process in place to try and address concerns of budget constraints. Number 24, closely monitor and where necessary, direct developments related to shale gas and other oil and gas exploration ventures in and around South Africa. The response, the DOE is participating in the Project Executive Committee, which oversees the development of the strategic environmental assessment for shale gas in South Africa. The PEC is chaired by the Department of Environmental Affairs. In addition, the department also participates in the task team led by the Department of Mineral Resources. Lastly, 25, assess the legislative mandate of the NERSA and ensure it is comprehensive and robust to fully empower NERSA to execute their duties. This includes ensuring that the NERSA is empowered to audit investigate regulatory-related issues at ESCOM and municipalities. The response, the regulator is already empowered under Section 4B and Section 32 of the Electricity Regulation Act 4 of 2006 to conduct investigations. The NER Amendment Bill proposes a new governance model that creates an appeal authority separate from the regulator. And that's the story, Jay.
Honourable members, any comments on the two responses? Honourable Makai.
Chair, thank you. I think it's a great move forward that the department has given us these responses for this report. However, Chair, I mean, if you note, the requests are quite specific from the department, from the portfolio committee. And the responses from the department are quite generalized. So, for example, in a number of cases, we ask with a time frame for a report to be presented to the committee, and the response from the department is this thing's being dealt with, it's going through cabinet, or there's multiple reasons, but there's never a commitment to bring it to the committee. So we have specifically asked, please bring document X to committee by this date, and the department just ignores that. And that falls under a number of recommendations in the first one. I mean, anything from 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 14, 13, 15. So for example, Chair, there's never, you know, for example, they don't provide, we've asked specifically for a report. They say the report has been finalized, it's been dealt with, but they don't present the report. There's no commitment to provide us with the report. So for me, I mean, out of the total recommendations, I think we have 23 in the first batch, and of those, 9 out of the 24 we've asked for specifically for something to be presented to the committee, and there's no commitment by the department to present that. That runs for the second recommendation to Chair. For example, I'm very troubled by the amendments being made to the to NERSA, especially around the regulatory framework and the appeal mechanism. Chair, not once, and I mean this was approved by Cabinet in 2015, not once has the department brought that legislation to us to be discussed, to explain to us the rationale for why this is needed. For example, what will the constitution of the appeal board be? As far as I'm aware, Chair, for example, the appeal board will be appointed by the minister at her sole discretion, and, for example, there will be no limitation on whether those members of the appeal board can hold other forms of political office or political membership. This is deeply troubling. So, you know, Chair, you know, they've kind of given us these responses, but frankly, they haven't committed or met our deadlines in terms of presenting the documents to us. They haven't presented key pieces of legislation to us. And so I find, in large part, very helpful, but very much problematic in terms of that they haven't actually committed to presenting the documents to the portfolio committee. And I find that very difficult to accept, Chair, considering that that is our role in terms of oversight.
Any further comments? Oh yeah, what members are thinking? Okay, for the purposes of the recommendations for this report, I think we must just focus on the key ones and on the key and relevant ones. And by relevant, I mean that would have relevance in the immediate future, things that we know that have got to be done and can be followed through, because we can give them too many of these, and because there are many, so they can they find a way of generalizing in their responses over the 20 odd that we give to them, so we can focus on holding the department to account. So I suggest that we should try and focus on the key ones. There are those that would have become obsolete as a result of things having happened, so we just have to concentrate on the key ones in the new recommendations. And I think recognizing also the change in the leadership of the department, perhaps there would potentially be a different approach in dealing with some of these things. I have a great respect for bureaucracy, for its ability to generate waste. So they have all the capacity. They can, if you ask them a question, they will respond. They'll find the waste. But you know, there's no relevance between the words and reality. So I think we have to find a way going forward so that we can focus on just the specific things that are key. For instance, on the whole question of the new build, it has been set aside. The minister last week did indicate that the government has every intention to proceed with it. So I think it would mean they're going to look at what the court has said to ensure that they comply. But the process would be restarted. It's quite clear that they committed to restarting the process going forward. So we're going to have to be clearer about how we want to deal with that in the future when it gets back to Parliament, including the issues of the public hearings, as we would have seen. So she says, even before the issues relating to court are resolved, can we have a debate here in Parliament on this matter? So when at some point when we discuss the program, we'll talk about is our intention to bring forward the discussion with the experts, the public hearings, not so much about the actual procurement, but with regard to the desirability, the wisdom, and the affordability of nuclear energy as part of the mix, so that we can have an open discussion even long before we start the process of procurement. So that it's one area that we're going to have to just sequence our actions properly around to ensure that we can have a focused discussion. The second one is the policy issues. These policy documents, and IEP in particular, and IRP, and the matters relating to the end state, I think we're going to have to focus our action on that, including what legislative changes are required to give effect to the changes being proposed in the policy documents. So that, I think it is what in that policy area is a big issue that we have got to focus on. There are others. This thing is called the solar water heater program. So they want to install very few now in this financial year. I don't know whether it is because of resource constraints. But that's not the issue. The 39,000 they're talking about, that's not the issue. My biggest problem is the 400,000 that was installed that is currently in disrepair. So we're not talking about the so-called repair project of the first 400,000 that is currently not in use. So we want to install 9,000 more, but there's a problem with the ones that have been installed before. So I think we're going to have to be some more practical with regard to the delivery of these services we're talking about. I think we, generally speaking, all of us would agree that we're doing well with regard to the electrification program. It is the issues regarding to ADAM that are the problem. You know, when ESCOM says that we have excess electricity, so it would appear, depending on how we deal with the issues of the mix going forward and the decommissioning that would happen early in 2020 of some plants, it would appear that our problem or the so-called load shedding of the future would not arise out of lack of supply, but because there's no network to distribute. I think there's a potential that we could face a distribution collapse, given the state of this network. I don't know if you're paying enough attention to that, and everybody keeps saying, yes, it's now 70 billion, it's now 80 billion, but we're not taking steps to ensure that something can be done about it. So it's good and well that we can deal with the issues with regard to supply side and with regard to Eskom generation and all of that, but we need to deal with the network. So we must find a way that we can, going forward, we can focus the department, and hopefully under the new minister there will be a preparedness to just focus on things. When we have agreed on something, we can focus on it and get it done. I'm not convinced. This thing about state, you know, the replies on the state-owned assets, the things they say, the compacts, we're doing this, we're doing that. But we all know it's not true that there's effective oversight of these entities. I think we've got to engage the new minister and the department more effectively on how can we deal with this problem, especially with regard to the cell group. We've been having some discussion, and members will see that in the program, that the combination, I know we've been preoccupied by PetroSA and now recently SFF. So, but the issues with regard to the SEF group, so PASA is gone, so we don't know what's happening with African exploration. We don't get enough information, and people are not telling why this movement can't happen, because there are deep problems, of course, with regard to, so who's going to take responsibility for this? So is there money to do this? So, and then we get paralyzed instead of being told, hey, this entity can't be hived off because nobody wants to take the responsibility for the cost associated with this. And then there's just continuous paralysis. So we need to have some proper discussion on the SEF group. What are we trying to do because of the agency in SFF and the PetroSA? We must get the report. The minister has promised that she'll give us the report of the investigation into the strategic stock, which is just one aspect. But we need to get quite urgently. Oh, yeah, and I know one of the members here was interested when the new self-chair was here and said, can you come back and talk to us about these ideas you're talking about? So, but what we need is some framework that does not just deal with the subsidiaries, but deals with SEF as a whole, the restructuring of SEF and its relationship with the subsidiaries. It is my sense that there's some idea of what needs to be done. Whether it is the right solution, it is something else. But that something is being done to find some coherence between the SEF group and the different entities and how they work into the future. I think quite soon we need to get a report with regard to that restructuring process. And I remember the minister did hinder the fact that there are difficulties with regard to what she calls recapitalization of PetroSA. Now, yeah, so we're going to have quite soon we need a report about what that is, and have a proper discussion about PetroSA. Maybe at that point, Honorable Makau will say, no, it is time to sell. But we need to have there has got to be some clarity with that too. What are we going to do with the problems at PetroSA? So there can't be this ongoing paralysis. Part of the problem is the the ladies and gentlemen there, I don't think they have an idea about what needs to be done. Oh. Partly because, as one member we have alluded in the past, that we have a group of people there who have no expertise in the field, so they can't deal with the challenges that are there and find a solution. So, otherwise, I think, honourable members, for the purposes of this report, let's do this. I think we can make some changes, but as they would say, most of these things would be water under the bridge. So we've made this, the recommendations. Some of them have not been forthcoming quite clearly. I suggest that we must tighten in the recommendations we're making now. And at least from what I see with the responses received on the 3rd of May, that there might be some energy coming from the department to respond to things and then focus on the things that we think are the priority, so that in some sense we can try and set the parameters of the priorities for the department. So those are generally be my comments, but with regard to what we have asked in the past, how they have responded, I think perhaps for the purposes of the report, we should generally leave that those as they are in the report, but focus on where there's lack of response, how are we going to deal with that going forward to ensure that we can get a more satisfactory responses. Okay, that's my... Those are my comments, and we'll deal with the recommendations later when we come there. And perhaps my suggestion, Mr. Court, is that as members speak, can we not so much focus on the number of the recommendations we're making? Perhaps even some of them may have to be clustered. Focus on what are our priorities and things that we can follow through to ensure that the department can provide regular feedback on the progress they're making. Okay. If there are no further comments, we can go to the recommendation. Honourable Mackay.
Chair, I want to second your approach. I think you're absolutely right that we must focus on the big fish in the portfolio. Oftentimes we've let the department get away by letting them focus on smaller, unimportant matters. But Chair, I must say that I think that we haven't been fully possibly coherent on the scale of the problem at PetroSA and the implications for the state. They claim to have presented a turnaround strategy to us in a 4-page slide document that we were not happy with. We sent them back. But, Chair, we're talking about a 16.2 billion rand liability that has to be repaid within 30 days if PetroSA stops functioning. So even more than nuclear at this point, PetroSA actually presents a danger to the fiscus, an immediate danger. And Chair, we have not had a satisfactory response from PetroSA, from CEF, from the Minister. We haven't had National Treasury here to advise us on what are the implications for the fiscus. And frankly, Chair, I think the recommendations, we don't even deal with PetroSA in the recommendations that we currently have forward. So I think you're absolutely right, Chair. I think that the big issues would be PetroSA, the nuclear deal, and then, the policy issues around the IRP, IEP, and the end state for the energy sector, and possibly your fourth point, which was the distribution network, which we are not focusing enough on. But, Chair, I think we should rather, in this reports, we should focus on recommendations, limit the number of recommendations quite significantly, because before we've had up to 25 recommendations, and I think we should base our recommendations on those four specific areas and try and keep them to 3 points that were very clear as a committee what we want from the department. So the department cannot distract us with minutiae, as is their tendency quite often to do so. But Chair, this petrol thing is not going to go away. And we are going to be found to be remiss in our duties in terms of oversight. We have not visited petrol, say, once in the time that we've been a committee, and we really haven't been very successful at getting Petros 8 to be forthcoming around its turnaround strategy. We've had no follow-up on Apollo, which I hear is quite damning in terms of its reports. So, Chair, I would fundamentally support you in your in the proposal that you put into the committee, and I think you're absolutely right, but we must, in my opinion, Chair, more, even bigger than nuclear at this point, is the actual danger placed to the fiscus by Petros 8, and that has to be sufficiently dealt with in terms of we need to push the department and National Treasury towards some kind of resolution around the difficulty that what this means and what it means for the state.
Okay. Oh, dear, our friends, our nuclear friends have left now. Where have they gone to? Oh. I was deeply pained when they said they ran court because Parliament failed in its oversight. I wanted to tell them that I was aggrieved by that. So I don't want us to be accused of that in the future. Honorable Ramin.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I agree with your proposal. And the truth of the matter is your observation that you don't think the ladies and gentlemen on especially Petro-SA and SAF, they know what is happening. So I think the issue of nuclear to be set aside, it's a blessing in disguise. It gives us an opportunity to be able to focus on the key issues, especially with Petro-SA. The previous minister asked a question on the issues of selling of Block 9. She's evasive, she left. And the new minister, I've already asked the same question. She's asking for time to be given. I don't know when you ask someone, did you sell this or not? They're saying, no, one time. I don't know what time is that. So that's what I'm saying. I agree that maybe all these recommendations, we must just limit them to key things, especially the Petro-SA, the issue of those solar heater issues as well. That is, there's nothing that is happening there. As you're saying, that there is an issue of 400,000 that are not functioning and they want to move forward. So they're trying to be evasive on that. Let's just limit these key issues so that we can deal with the issue of what is happening in the SAF group, and then we can get clear answers, because I think the more we push, that's when we're going to get the clear answers, even to check if there is capacity, because this turnaround strategy that they keep saying is a turnaround strategy, because even here, when you look at the turnaround strategy, there's nothing that they're talking about. So we must be able to see, then it will be able to give us a clear light if there is capacity. Maybe we'll find out that we're just dealing with an empty shell there. We've just been given over-the-top reports. We'll find out that maybe there's not even people working there. So I agree with that approach, that let's just squeeze the information out of these people, get closer to the issue so that we can find answers and we need to know, because if you look at the report that was presented by the minister, that actually we sold the stock. So we don't know what is happening there. Maybe we got nothing. Just now we wake up, we don't even have any reserves in the country. Then it's a shutdown. And it's a critical component in terms of the country to be able to function its duty. So I agree with that approach. Let's just limit this to two, three things and then attack and then get clear answers. If it means we must go to those offices and find what's happening, we'll get there. But the suspicion is that there's no one there. It's just an empty office and just get slides of presentations that you don't know what to name it. Thanks.
Honourable, I mean, there are workers there.
Chair, I mean, I'm not sure what the appetite is on the committee, but, you know, one of the recommendations might be we are now full authority of the committee to call for an inquiry into PetroSA. And I think the time has gotten now to a point where we do need a full-fledged entire committee inquiry into PetroSA and for a full investigation, because we keep asking mana information, yeah, and we're not getting anywhere. They're blocking us consistently. They're misleading us consistently. I mean, last week's announcement around business rescue, which was leaked to the press and then withdrawn, I mean, that wasn't even mentioned in the meeting that we had with them in February. I honestly think, Chair, for nuclear, we need to call for public hearings, and for PetroSA as a committee, we must call for a parliamentary inquiry into PetroSA. And I know, Chair, that is very controversial, and you need to obviously apply your mind, but my suggestion would be that as a committee, we should call for specifically an inquiry into PetroSA. I think we would be remiss if we don't. I think it's time that we start unpacking this problem child, because the minister will not necessarily be able to address the problem in terms of the scope and the magnitude of how deep the problem already is and how rotten the company already is. So my recommendation, Chair, is that we would want to call for a parliamentary inquiry into PetroSA that would look at a long-term solution and investigate what's gone wrong, because we just absolutely don't know.
Okay, there's a clear recommendation, Honourable Members. I don't think we should try and respond to it now. It's an important recommendation to think about. I can respond myself sitting here to it, that it is something I would support without any hesitation, actually. The issue is, well, at what point do we make that decision? Let me just talk to that so that you can see. I think let's just give members a chance to go think about it and then come back. I wouldn't have a problem with a decision like that. It's the issue of at what point are we going to do it. I'm not discussing the program now, because we just try to be practical, just to give you a sense that when we're done with this process of the budget vote report, the minister made a suggestion in the meeting last week that we need to look at the Competition Commission report that we just referred to earlier on. So that's one issue that we think we should that report we should look at urgently, because I think from their side they have lots of appetite to look at that as soon as possible. The next thing relates to SAF, and on SAF it is SFF and PetroSA. On the SFF, it is just to focus on the investigation report on the sale of stock, so that we can get a report in a meeting, in a two-part meeting by SAF, a report on SFF, on that investigation report, and the second one to get some overview with regard to what they intend doing with PetroSA. And I call this overview because so that you can get a sense of whether they know what the depth of the problem and whether they have a strategy to deal with it. And I call it overview because I had raised it before that we need some report on PetroSA, and so I was cautioned that if the committee needs something quite comprehensive, it would not be forthcoming in the next 2-3 weeks, because it has got to be done. But I don't think we have the appetite to wait too long. So that's why I suggested that bring the report, bring the SFF report, bring the Petro SA, at least just an overview of the the kind of problems and your approach to dealing with it, not the actual turnaround strategy, so that we have the comfort that you know what you want to do. So perhaps at that point, when we, after we have received that report, we will make the determination as to whether we want to call for an inquiry if we think we are not comfortable that we think they have a plan to deal with the problem. Firstly, that if we think they're not telling us the full story about the scale of the problem, and secondly, that they know how to deal with the problem. That I would ask for an inquiry myself. I would support that suggestion. As I was saying, I think we try our best here, and sometimes so this parliamentary role, this executive, and the things can get lost in the process. But one thing is, I personally do not want to be accused as a public representative of having abdicated my responsibility. That I can't live with. We can try and fail and make mistakes, but not be accused of sleeping on the job. No. So that's why my friends there, they talk as if we're not been fighting ourselves. Now they think Parliament let us down, so we had to rush to court. perhaps it was a good thing they did. But on this issue, so we can't have another thing. And then people say, yeah, it was nuclear, we're sleeping. Stock was sold, you're sleeping. Petrol SA, now we have the fiscus must cough out 16 billion because this thing has now gone under. We're sleeping. No, we can't.
I agree.
No. I don't want to go home and my children ask me, Dad, what's going on? Why do you sleep on the job? Yeah. Okay, so can we, I think we have listened, including me, Mr. Cotton and the rest of the parliamentary staff. We have listened just on the focus areas. So can't you give us time just to reorganize the recommendations and then resend to you so that we don't comment on this? I don't want us to talk about these regional offices and things like this. Let's just focus on the key things and then send back to you, and so that we can look at that and then comment next week. We can have a final look at the report. And okay, Honourable Damien, I think we can go as part of the process. The Petrus A is not a what is this place? No, not the offices. The Marshall Bay.
Oh yeah.
It's not. Head office is there. We went there last time.
Yeah.
So we can go to the operations place. So it's not very far. We can go. I just want to show another claimant that there are workers there. Who are likely to lose their jobs if we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we do that on our member says to do a revision, send back to you, and then get it to comment. So can we end at this stage? It's now 12 o'clock, can have early lunch. I know you have other committees in the afternoon.
Want to go to finance?
What's happening? But don't fight with Chairperson there. Can you ask your former colleagues, man, not to come and bring care yourself? These former EFF people, man, are a problem. Okay. Okay. Thanks very much, Chair. See you next week when I remember.